Parsha Bechukosai, which deals with the blessings and the curses, begins in source number 2, Im Bechukosai Teilechu, if you will follow my decrees and observe my commandments and perform them. And then all these brachas that Hashem will give you, the rain falling in the right time, produce, etc. Then the Parsha continues in source 1, but if you will not listen to me and not perform all these commandments, if you will consider my decrees loathsome, and if your being rejects my ordinances so as not to perform all my commandments, so that you will know my covenant, then I will do the same to you. And we have the list of the curses. What is this idea of following the decrees or not listening? So Rashi tells us a very interesting phrase. Whether you are amelim batorah, whether you're working hard, you're toiling in Torah. If you toil in Torah, then these are the blessings. And if you don't, then these are the results. And it's interesting, as the Medrash points out, Rashi points out in Source 4, the admonition has begun with a chain reaction of sin, composed of 7 steps, each one leading to the next. You will not dedicate yourselves to Torah study. You will eventually stop performing commandments. You'll be revolted by others who are loyal to Torah. You'll hate the sages who expound the ordinances. You'll prevent others from being observant. You'll deny that God gave the commandments. And ultimately, you'll deny the very existence of God who made the covenant. And the obvious question that we need to ask, the question offered in source number 5, which is, Hare Medubar, we're talking about B'mi Shalomed V'Oseg B'Torah, someone who is involved in learning of the Torah. Ela Chaser Lo Raka Teyagia V'Amal B'Torah. What is he missing? He's missing that added component of Yagia of Amel and Torah. Valveira Kazuko Tevera Tarashul Basof Yagia Kide Kfira Be'ikar Noralami Fonain. How can we say that someone who's observing Torah mitzvahs, but is not Amel B'Torah, is not exerting effort in Torah, is going to reach a level of, God forbid, Kofir Be'ikar? How can we explain such a thing? Before we begin our remarks, we need to be able to understand what is Amelus Batorah. And that's going to be the first part of the Shir Amir Tzashem. And only once we have an understanding of Amelus Batorah, what it means to toil in Torah, can we then get to the second part of the Shir, the very tail end, to be able to answer our question of how the slippery slope process happens if we're not Ameling Batorah. Now, I'd like to say at the beginning a caveat. When we're talking about Amelus and Torah, we're talking about a shir primarily directed for women. So women don't have a chiyuv in Lima Torah, right? Vakisavo yoman valayla in the Amelus and Torah, when we're talking about black and white, the black learning of Torah, the text, is clearly a male thing. So why are we discussing this today? So 2 reasons. One is a woman's job is to be able to appreciate Amelus Batorah, to be able to encourage her family, the males, to learn Torah. And the second is, although a woman isn't chayav in lima Torah per se, she's chayav in knowing the mitzvos that pertain to her. And as we're going to describe today, Amelus Batorah is not just the black fire of learning Torah. It's the white fire that we spoke about 2 weeks ago, v'kervanu v'fnei har Sinai. It's coming close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a whole Weltanschauung, a whole gestalt of what Torah is about. That Amelus Batorah goes far beyond just the technical learning of Torah. And that is crucial for us to understand as Avdei Hashem, as servants of Hashem. So what is this idea of Ameling Batorah about? That if you're not Amel, if you don't toil in Torah, we have this slippery slope. So perhaps the most simple level is what the Lekach Valibu speaks about in the second paragraph in 6. Ki Adam shall seik b'Torah rak b'chelek shel hamoach. The person's involved in learning of Torah only in their intellect. Hainu shalomed ba'ofen shitchi, you learn an external type of way. As ein hamoach kulo asuk b'Torah, then your entire being is not involved in Torah. V'nishar chelek panui sheino mechuse b'Torah, and then there's a part which is not involved in Torah. Shechas v'shalom yachol liyot asuk b'dvarim acherim. And could God forbid be involved in other things? V'nishar patuach l'dvarim acherim, ma she'enken k'shalomei be'iun ve'amkos hamoach. But if you involve yourself but totally in Torah, then the moach is mitameitz be'esek haTorah. Your spare time, your energy is involved in trying to understand Torah. And then a person has a shmira, a protection from averos and an avon, from sins, God forbid. Let's try to understand what the Lekach V'Libov is saying. There's a very fundamental Rashi in Parshas Vayeshev. When the Torah says, by Yosef HaTzadik, when they threw the brothers, threw him into the pit, it says, V'abor reik ein bo mayim, the pit was empty, there was no water in it. Rashi knows, well, if it's empty, obviously there's no water. So Rashi says, mayim ein bo, but nechoshim v'akrovim yesh bo. Snakes and scorpions were found in it. What Rashi is telling us is a fundamental principle in life. Nothing exists in a vacuum. If water, which represents Kedusha, Torah, is not found in it, so snakes and scorpions are going to come instead. We can't live a life where we think that if I'm not involved in Torah, I'm not involved in chesed opportunities, I'm not involved in my family, I'm not involved in positive projects, that I have what we call blank time. No, it's going to be filled with other things. Now, that doesn't mean that there can't be positive leisure time. There are excellent opportunities for leisure, but that leisure can be understood as an opportunity to gain strength, whether it's going to the gym or baking or different things in order to be able to channel this energy in a very positive way. But when we don't have that mindset of my life is dedicated to Torah and let me fill it with extra opportunities to lead a life as an Eved Hashem, then we know, Rachmana Litzlan, what happens to people who are bored, who are surfing places they shouldn't be surfing. We're not talking about water here. Water surfing, for some people, in a sneistic way, if you can achieve that for women, kol hakavod. If it's not, then it's a different problem. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, obviously, in areas that are going to lead us down this slippery slope. Amelus batora means that my entire being is going to be surrounded and immersed in a Torah lifestyle. The second approach is found in Rav Pinkus in source number 7, where he notes that Torah is unique, that Torah exists at all times of the day and night. It's not relegated to just a certain time of day or a certain period of the year. It's Kiyem Chayenu V'Gisabo Yomam V'Layla, day and night. The key of Torah is what we say in the Birkas HaTorah, Asher Kedishanu Mitzvosa V'Tzivanu, La'asok B'Divrei Torah. La'asok B'Divrei Torah means to be involved in the learning of Torah. La'asok means to be totally immersed in Torah. And how can a person be involved? La'asok B'Divrei Torah. How can be a person immersed in Torah? How can we live a life like this? It's what we say at the next part of the bracha. V'arevna Hashem Elokeinu, make it sweet for us. Allow us to feel the masikus haTorah, the sweetness, the richness of Torah. As the Rechaim HaKadosh notes on the pasuk, V'samachtu b'chol haTov asher natan lecha Hashem Elokecha, and the Aaron Aid, you should rejoice in all the goodness that Hashem has given you. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, V'imayu b'nei oto margishim b'masikus v'arevus, Tova Torah, if we would feel the sweetness of Torah, hayu meshkaim umitalchim achareha, we would be like, you know, in blazed and following after Torah. V'lo yachshol beinayim lo haolam kesef zahav lema'uma, we wouldn't be looking at the world of the gold and silver as worth anything. All that is crucial is the world of Torah, the world of being able to be immersed in doing Avodas Hashem. And this is something that we know that we are challenged with. The Vilna Gaon could sit for hours and learn Torah and never get tired and always feel the sweetness of Torah. We pick up a sefer we spoke about in the last year in Parshas Behar, learning Shabbos afternoon, Hilchos Shabbos, whatever it is. We start Parshas Shavua, we learn for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, then we start getting distracted. We get off on tangents, we get bored, we start moving around. Why is it so difficult for us to learn? We pick up a magazine, we pick up a Bina, a Mishpacha, we pick up Havodah, we pick up a novel, we pick up something, we could be immersed for hours. What is the problem that Torah weakens us so and tires us so quickly? It's because we don't feel the Masikos HaTorah. We don't feel the sweetness of Torah. And no, he says, Trilosa Merirus Vesofa Metikos. The beginning of Torah is difficult, it's hard, and only later it becomes sweet. The person who is Yageya B'Torah, a person who's Omel B'Torah, a person whose entire being is dedicated to the learning of Torah and to the living of Torah, reaches a different level in life. And this is something that the Rav Pinkus notes in source number 10. He quotes from Rabbi Yerucham a new category in the hierarchy of the world. We know classically that the world is divided up into domain, inanimate, tzomeach, the world that grows, the chai, the world of the animals, the medaber, the speech world, and then the Kusari adds the world of the Yehudi, the Jew. Rabbi Yerucham adds even a next level, sixth level of an Amel B'Torah, someone who's involved in Torah study. And the fascinating thing, says Rav Pinkus, is that when you take a look from one level up to the next level, it's hard for the rock to understand the carrot. It's hard for the carrot to understand the lion. The lion to understand the Jew. It's even hard to understand a person. It's even hard for a person who's not Jewish to understand the Jew. That on Shabbos, if a Jew sees $400 on the street, it's not going to pick it up. It's hard for a person to understand that. It's hard for a person to understand that it's pleasurable not to be on your computer or your phone for 24 hours. And likewise, a Jew looking up at an Amel B'Torah may find it also difficult. How can people enjoy sitting over these Talmudic texts of one ox goring another ox when people in the property never even seen an ox, don't even know what goring means? And you get such enjoyment of being immersed in such learning, we don't have this appreciation. But a melus b'Torah, someone who's going to dedicate their lives to Torah, whether it's a 24/7 person who dedicates their lives to Torah, or those who are working in every free moment on their way to work, lunch hour when they come home, this is their life. It's a melus b'Torah, not just to pick up a nice parsha sheet and to read it, but to learn a sukkah, to be able to delve into Torah. The Torah is what they think about. Torah is what they converse with their friends about. The Torah is the entirety of their being. That's the amelus of Torah. That shows that this is something that is precious, that this is something that is beloved to this person. The psychological aspect of being Amel B'Torah is very, very clear. And Rav Dessler speaks about this in Source 12. Ha'adam ha'amel b'davar mesuyam, k'midat amalo mitkasheru elav, to the extent that a person is involved in something, that's to the extent of emotionally he'll become attached to it. V'avato l'davar ze mitkaberet v'holechet im hagbarat ha'yikiyah. And the passion for this item will grow in proportion to the amount that you invest in it. You see this by a person who invests in a garden. So he becomes connected to this tree. He loves this tree because part of himself is in this tree. The asterisk in 12, he becomes connected to this. I'm sure many of us have had the opportunity of meeting at a Shabbos meal or at some simcha, you meet somebody who's enthralled in whatever area of expertise that they have dedicated their life to. It could be, you know, the wings of a butterfly. And for them, that's the most fascinating thing in the world. You ever watch these people speak? Their face lights up. Their eyes light up. They are just in love with these butterfly wings, right? And like for you, it's like so boring. Why? Because a person who invests their entire being into studying something, they become very mekushar, very connected to this thing. That's where they're at. That's where their love is. That's where their whole being is at. My friend says, Rav Dessler, in bedavar gashmikach, if this is true in the physical world, bedavar ruchani alachat kama v'kama, how much more so in the spiritual world, kechol sha'amal adam yoter lischol b'mala ruchani, to the extent that you're able to acquire this spiritual level, davaku yoter b'mala, so that you become more connected to it, until it becomes part of who you are. This is what we say in the Tehillim. When we begin in the second pasuk, we say, v'taras Hashem chefsa. if a person desires the Torah of Hashem. And then it says, Ubitsaroso Yege Yomam Valaila, and in his Torah he will learn day and night. So Rashi notes, Nikreit El Shmo, it turns from Torah Hashem to Rosso, to your Torah. Nikreit El Shmo Sha also Tami Chitarachba. Because Chazal tell us, if you're going to work at something, it's going to become part and parcel of you. So when we're talking about Amelus Batorah, we're talking about that the brachos come for someone who's Amel Batorah, who toils in Torah, and the klolos come for someone who doesn't toil in Torah. Yes, on one level, it means that they're not totally immersed, and other things are going to take their attention, and that begins perhaps, could begin, doesn't necessarily have to begin, a slippery slope. But it means also on a much deeper level, it defines who the person is. How does the person spend his time? What does the person relate to? Where does the person find their chios, their life force, what they love, what they're passionate about, what they're going to talk about with fire coming out of them? So a person who's immersed in Torah is going to be speaking about Torah. That's what they're going to be speaking about. A person who's immersed in Torah lifestyle is going to be talking about Torah and mitzvot. It's going to be talking about a chesed project that inspires them. It's going to be, that is going to be their mindset. And this explains in source number 13, the Taz that explains, what does it mean, Amav Da'aretz, why was the first base of Mikdash destroyed? So, Alazama Tarati, they left my Torah, which our rabbis explain, Shalom Berchu Ba'Torah Tchila. They didn't say a bracha before Birkas HaTorah. How is that possible? They didn't say a bracha, Birkas HaTorah. So explains the Taz as following. If a person is going to learn Torah, mitoch oneg, veinam yigeim ba, it's just going to be a pleasurable pursuit, but they're not working at it. So the Torah is not going to become part of them. Shelo berchu ba Torah tchila means, of course they learn Torah. But they didn't say, they didn't live the bracha of la'asog b'divrei Torah. That Torah became part and parcel of who they were. That Torah is the entirety of their mind. And that, because they weren't totally immersed in Torah, that's what it means, Shelo berchu v'Torah tchila. And he explains, therefore, Avodatenu hi efo, the end of 13, La'amo b'Torah, b'derech amok v'tircha b'Torah, we have to work hard at Torah, and that way we'll be dveikim b'Torah, and then it will become part of who we are. Continues Rav Deshler and says in 14, Kamo kein b'kinyan malas ha-mitzvos sochim ha-idei mesiris v'amel. This holds true of mitzvos as well. That mitzvos is about going beyond your comfort zone. It's about working hard. As our rabbis say, yafe pamachas b'tzar, better is one time that's going to expend energy and it's going to take from you. Mimea pamim below tsar, than 100 times without tsar, without pain. And the tsar is so much greater when you're able to put in that extra effort. Michlal hu she ha'oset ha-mitzvah v'tsar uva'amel, the arrow in 14. One who does it by expending extra energy. Aitezen naseh yekara lo ma'or, it becomes beloved to them. V'dovek u'mitkushar yoter la-mitzvah, then they become better connected to the mitzvah. And they reach higher levels. And this is the idea, Lefum Sara Agra, according to the difficulty and the challenge is the reward. There are many mitzvos that come our way, and some of them we enjoy and we like doing, and that's great. And some of them, like having, let's say, a vegetarian at your house for Shabbos, and you continue to invite them. Or a person who is a little bit mentally challenged, shall we say. And you have that type of person. And you have to invest a little bit more. You go out of your comfort zone. Then you're mekusher to the mitzvah of achnasat orchim. The more you invest, the more you have to, okay, spend an extra hour preparing, whatever it is, an extra kugel, because more guests are coming. That extra time is the yegia, is the extra effort that you need to put in. That shows you emotionally that this mitzvah is special to you. You become part of this mitzvah. The schar, the reward is that much greater, but more important than the reward for us is the mindset. What we are, what we do, and we do with energy. And a melus b'Torah takes a lot of energy. It's difficult to learn. Doing mitzvos is difficult. We go beyond, again, that comfort zone. We go beyond what's easy. And we're able to push ourselves beyond. That is what a mailing by Torah and a mailing by mitzvos are all about. I almost find it ironic, parenthetically. I'm pre-taping this class before Mirat Hashem leaving tomorrow to the States, with still a lot of shirim to prepare, and packing, and a lot of last-minute details. And I just pre-taped this shir. Spent an hour going through this entire shir. And the two systems we had, one and then a backup, both of them failed. So now that, with an hour I don't have, I'm retaping it now for a second time. And I just feel like, Shira, if you're going to talk about amelus, you're going to talk about going that extra mile, let's see you put your money where your mouth is, so to speak. You really believe that life is about pushing yourself? So push yourself. So here I am, going now for 3 hours straight teaching after the regular Parshat Baharshir, being able to say that this is what needs to get done, whatever it is, Maisa Satan, by the tape, both of them didn't work. That's not in my hands. What's in my hands is to be able to have this amelus b'Torah, this ability to push myself and be able to promote Torah and to teach Torah. Now, I want to share a gewaldic story which shows us what the idea of pushing ourselves and moving ourselves beyond our comfort zone is about, and how the reward for this is so special. There is a gewaldic story about the birth of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, which I read in the Sefer Otzros HaTorah, where he says that the way Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was born was Rabbi Shimon's father, Rabbi Yochai, was a person who was a very, for some person, a very special person. He was a very noble person. And he had a wife whose name was Sarah, and they did not have any children. And Yochai was thinking about divorcing her and taking another wife. So Sarah gets wind of this, and she decides, Uchuvo tfilo tzedaka, marviri meroa gzera. So what does she decide to do? She decides to cry, give extra tzedaka, and to fast that she should be zocha to have a child. That Rosh Hashanah Yochai has a dream. He has a dream of a tremendous orchard with many trees, some bear fruit, some don't, in front of him. A mechubedika person, a very honorable person, is standing in this orchard with a pitcher of water, and this person is watering some trees and not watering others, and some are bearing fruit and others he passes over. He comes to the tree Yochai is leaning on, and he takes out a special cup of water, a different one than he had before, and he pours that entire cup on Yochai's tree, and the tree blossoms and bears beautiful fruit. Yochai wakes up and tells his wife, this is good news, it's Rosh Hashanah, the time of Pekidas Sakaros. The trees are the women, some women will bear fruit this year, some will not bear fruit. And it's clear that our tree is going to bear fruit and we're going to have a child. What was concerned Sarah is, why was it that all the trees were watered by the same watering can, so to speak, and their tree was watered by a special cup of water, container of water. So they went to Rabbi Akiva to understand Pshat in the dream. And Rabbi Akiva noted, he said, that in reality, you, Sarah, were not supposed to have a child, but Derech HaTeva. But because of your tefillah, because of your stucca, because of your fasting, Hashem was with Vatel the Gzeira. You want to know what this cup of water that your husband saw in the dream? That was the cup of your tears. Your tears watered your plant that you'll be Zelchet to have a ben, a son, who's going to be Gadol b'Torah. And that year, Shavuos, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was born, and he was named Shimon because Hashem listened to the tefillah of his mother, Shema, to listen. My friends, this is the difference between women who daven for children who are going to be Balei Midos Tovos, Tamidei Chachamim, upstanding Yidim, and to those who daven 10 times a day, 20 times a day, who have tears for them, who daven even when their children are grown. This is moving above and beyond. That's a Amelus Vatorah. That's Yigia. That's what we're speaking about, to have a child like a Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Do we, in our lives, push ourselves beyond, or are we satisfied with the status quo of where we're at, and in that comfort zone, we observe Torah and mitzvot. The idea of a meilim b'Torah, both in terms of text, as well as in terms of a gestalt of a mindset, is that it involves the totality of our being physically, emotionally, intellectually, and this is what we are dedicating our lives 24/7 to, the pursuit of these spiritual goals. Perhaps one of the most beautiful essays on the idea of a meilus b'Torah is found in Rav Gifter Zatzal, that tells of Rosh Yeshiva in Source 15. He notes that Chazal teach that there is a seven-rung ladder which descends to annulling my covenant, i.e. denying belief in God. The first step is not studying Torah. Chazal add that not only does a lack of Torah study lead to heresy, but even Torah study superficially will bring one to the same end. He quotes the Gemara, to those who go to the right with the Torah, it's a potion of life. And those who go to the left with the Torah, it's a potion of death. This means that the Torah itself acts as a potion of death to those who go to the left with it. Rashi explains that going to the right with it means that they engage in it with all their strength and are preoccupied with knowing its secret, like someone who uses his right hand, which is his primary organ. From this statement, we derive two important points: what it means to be engaged in Torah, engaged with all their strength and preoccupied with it, and the essence of Torah is to know its secret, its mystery. The meaning of Torah's secret is not, as we are accustomed to saying, that in the Torah there's a revealed portion and a hidden portion. The secret and mystery of Torah denote everything that a person is privileged to attain and understand. The very essence of Torah study is the revelation of secrets, to delve ever more deeply into the depth of Torah. The same knowledge of Torah assumes a new dimension when one immerses himself in it more deeply. And that's why the idea of learning Torah is the idea that at a certain level, a child learns Bereishis bara Elokim et hashamayim et haaretz. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And as a person gets older and deeper, they understand what is the concept of God, what is the concept of creation, what's the concept of ex nihilo, what's the concept of heaven, what's the concept of earth, what's the concept of relationship between God and man, what's the concept between relationship between heaven and earth. That's the beauty of Torah. That's the secret of Torah. That's the delving into Torah. How many of us learn Torah, basic pshat in parsha, and we stay with what I call a third grade mentality? We never move beyond. We don't pick up every year a different mefarish, a different understanding, that we can deepen ourselves in Torah. You want to know, says Rav Gifter, what the secrets of Torah are about? It's not necessarily only the Torah son Nistar, the hidden Torah. The secrets of Torah is that which we have not yet revealed. The amaling b'Torah, the toil in Torah, is to be able to unravel and uncover these depths of Torah. The essence of Torah study, then, is to decipher the secret and mystery of Torah, Source 17. And Kutra, Samuna, Bitocho, and the Ramban teaches that there does not exist any portion of the mystical Torah that is divorced from the revealed portion. Rather, the mystical Torah is but the profundity of the revealed Torah. The entire Torah is a single entity, and learning consists of engrossing oneself in it, finding what is obscure and what is concealed. This mystery and secret of Torah extends all the way to God's own wisdom and will, and there is therefore no limit to the Torah's secret and mysteries. The essential nature of Torah wisdom is not bound by this world, and this is the basic difference between the Torah and all other intellectual pursuits. For this reason, Torah must be studied differently than other kinds of knowledge. A discipline embodying secrets of mystery that contain the limited kernel of truth must be studied with limitation. After all, the discipline must be studied according to its nature. But the wisdom of Torah is infinite and unbounded, so a study cannot tolerate limitation. Therefore, the human being who studies it must, as Rashi says, be engaged with all his strength and be preoccupied with it. Only then can Torah be studied properly. Consequently, Rashi's two conditions are in reality one. And Rav Gifter goes on to explain very beautifully in source number 18, entire essay is absolutely gorgeous, that you find people who go to the left of Torah, which means they only learn it superficially, who will learn it based on the confines of logic, the way they study other disciplines. And they'll find shnei ksuvim machishim zed, two texts that contradict each other. They'll find a mukta mukha b'Torah, that things are out of chronological order. And they'll say Torah makes no sense. And it begins that downward spiral we began with. But how can this be? Because this is somebody who's missing a mailing b'Torah. They're missing delving into it. They're missing studying it. They're missing being able to plummet to the bottom of the understanding that Torah's miniyam, and that Hashem's mindset is beyond what we can understand. And the more we learn, the more we delve, the more we see reconciliations on levels that we couldn't even begin to fathom. That's the beauty of Torah. That's the idea of being able to recognize what the profundity of Torah is about. And again, I've said this many times, having the schus of preparing Parsha Shears for Baruch Hashem many years, and should continue Mirz Hashem for many years, it is amazing to me how you can take the same Parsha and come up with depth and understanding. And it shocks me of how much I don't know and how much there is to learn. And how deep Torah is, and that we sell ourselves short by thinking, okay, I'm in Mavra Sedra, I know what the parasha is about. Look around, the Sfarim are just enormous, and what they teach us and how we can grow and learn. That's the life of a Melus B'Torah, and that, says Rav Gifter, is the idea of Das Torah. A person who has Das Torah, a Gadol B'Yisrael, is someone whose whole mind is in the depths of this Torah. And this is the respect that we need to have with someone who has Das Torah. They're able to see things with a vision that we can't possibly imagine. And that's the idea of the Amelus B'Torah, and what we saw with Rabbi Yerucham, that they become in a class and a level by themselves. If this, my friends, is Amelum B'Torah, we've tried very briefly to paint a picture of making Torah the entirety and totality of our being, that recognizing the depth of Torah is so deep, so enormous, and it's not limited by the intellectual rigor of our mindset of the here and now, that we would apply other disciplines. If we understand what this is, what Amelus B'Torah is about, La'asot B'Divrei Torah, to feel the Arevos and Torah and Mitzvos and going beyond our comfort zone, now we can appreciate a little bit of how the 7 slippery slope level goes that we saw in Source 4. The beginning of our study is the way the Dashraga quotes the Sforno in Source 22. And he says in the Aru Ma'achar Shelo Hachu B'chukotai, Lo Tasu Ekol HaMitzvos, Ela Tasu Mehem Anire Be'nechem Bilvar. What can happen if a person is an Amel B'Torah, that Dashraga describes based on the Sforno, is a person will be someone who picks and chooses in Judaism. I'll do the mitzvot that make sense. Those I have no problem with. But if a mitzvah makes absolutely no sense, right? You know, you want me to be immerse my dishes if a non-Jew owns them. There are no idolaters today. What do you mean I have to go schlepping my dishes, my glass dishes, to a mikvah? This is absolutely crazy. If you don't understand the mitzvot, and it makes no sense to you, so then that begins the slope of picking and choosing and denying mitzvot and denying the totality of the veracity of Torah and ultimately the giver of Torah. If you're a mailing by Torah, then you're able to say, I may not understand this yet, but I'm someone dedicated to learning and to growing and to widening my understanding. It's interesting that the Ne'os Deshe points out that the reason why so many people are caught in this is the Midah of Gaiva. And this is one of the things we're working on at Sfiras HaOmer, is to be able to say, I don't understand, I know I am limited in my knowledge, and I'm ready to accept that, and I'm ready to learn, I'm ready to grow. But if a person says, if I don't understand it, it makes no sense, and they have that level of Gaiva, that level of real arrogance, so obviously they're going to be picking and choosing. And when they do such a thing, notes Dachraga back in 24, who are Noah said zot mechamat hayot evet lashem, such a person is not really an evet to Hashem, but rather he does this because mireh be'einav u'besichlo, it makes sense to him, he's really an evet to his seichel. the dot by the bracket in 24. Ki iluhe no evid ella etzich lo. What he's really serving is his mind. And this is somebody who knows Hashem and is rebelling against him. He's taking himself out of Avdei Hashem. Our job is to recognize that when it comes to mitzvahs we don't understand, our attitude has to be amelim batorah, anivus, let me learn, let me realize my limitations, and let me grow. I think perhaps the most pertinent piece on what amelus batorah is about on a practical level and how we can understand the slippery slope is a very famous essay of Rav Zev Lev that I want to do inside and really read inside, which is unusual because he says it better than I can. And it is so powerful and so on target that it's almost scary. He summarizes our discussion before beginning the seventh slope with saying in 29, second paragraph, this is where it's at. Navigating this world can be compared to trying to ascend the down escalator. If one stands still, he descends. If he walks, he will maintain the status quo. Only if he exerts effort, that's the amelus, he will ascend higher. This constant desire and striving for more lofty levels of Torah observance is not merely desirable and commendable. Without it, one will find himself descending into a well of bitterness and contempt. For Torah spawned by the guilt he innately feels from shunning that goal that he should be in the process of attaining. And this is the way Rabbi Lev speaks about the slippery slope, which he himself says in Source 30, at first glance seems exaggerated. He says, just because one fails to put effort into Torah, will he inevitably be an atheist? There are many people who practice status quo Judaism, who stagnate at a comfortable level of learning and observance. They're not. They are fine Torah Jews. Some have even made an ideology of that practice, middle-of-the-road, mellow Judaism. They're not atheists. Some have followed this course for one or two generations. And they, too, are not atheists. Perhaps, he says, Rashi is describing the following phenomenon, which is frighteningly true to life. Let's listen together, and we enjoy may be the wrong word, the way Rabbi Lev describes what's really a description of you and me, my friends. He says, a fine Torah observant Shomer Shabbos Jew has found his comfortable niche of Shabbos observance. He doesn't drive on Shabbos, but he never really learned the intricate laws of Shabbos. Although he knows there's more to learn and observe, he resists, since this would complicate and upset his lifestyle. Although he's an idea that there's some concept to the prohibition of Borer, selecting on Shabbos, for example, he's not interested in upgrading his Shabbos observance because change is uncomfortable. Yet, in his quest for comfort, he does not want to feel guilty, because guilt is also uncomfortable. So how does one successfully resist positive change at the same time have a guilt-free conscience? Well, the Yetzer Hara has devised a seven-step defense mechanism. Let's follow the anatomy of the descent. Our subject, Mr. Status Quo Judaism, resists putting in the effort of upgrading his Shabbos observance to include the laws of Borer. In order not to feel guilty about this, he must avoid learning anything. Avoid learning. Not Chas V'Shalom, he shouldn't learn any Torah, but anything that could remotely inform him about the laws of Borer. The less he knows about Borer, the less he has to feel guilty about. Well, having descended to level one, not learning, he automatically descends to level number two, not doing. Due to his ignorance of the halacha, he will not perform the mitzvahs properly. So Mr. Status Quo Judaism will know vaguely that the category Borer exists, but he assumes it has nothing to do with his regular Shabbos behavior. This probably only applies to farmers and large commercial endeavors, he will reason. Hence, when he buys a mechanical bone plucker with which to remove the bones from his fish Friday night, he will buy a special silver one, a special lichvot Shabbos Kodesh, being totally unaware that not only is this action not lichvot Shabbos, but he transgresses the Torah prohibition every time he uses it. Well, this arrangement continues very well until one Friday night, Mr. Status Quo Judaism goes to his friend's house Friday night. And his friend, who is careful about the laws of Borer, is studying his fish to figure out how not to be over on Borer to take the bones out of the fish. Mr. SQJ, status quo Judaism, looks at his neighbor and thinks, this is crazy. Look at this fanatic. No one studies their fish before they eat it. This is extreme fanaticism. Just eat the fish. Now 33, level number 3, is called Moes Ba'acherim Ha'osim, being disgusted by others who observe the mitzvos one would like to ignore. If one designates those who are careful to observe these mitzvos as fanatics, chanyoks, and extremists, then the guilt generated by the other observance is dissipated, since one does not want to feel guilty about not being a fanatic or a chanyok. So, now having descended to level number 3, he goes to sleep, wakes up in the morning, and thanks God, Shiloh Asani Chanyok. 34. When the rabbi gets up to deliver his drasha, Mr. SQJ cannot believe what his ears are hearing. I have become aware that there are many fine Shomer Shabbos individuals in our congregation, begins the rabbi, who are totally ignorant of some of the basic laws of Shabbos. Bora, for instance. Therefore, my drasha will be dedicated today to the importance of learning the laws of Shabbos. Oh no, asterisk 34, bemoans Mr. SQJ to himself. Not the rabbi, too. This Bora thing won't stop pursuing me. Not wanting to feel guilty about Bora from the upcoming words of the rabbi, the Yetzer Hara provides Mr. SQJ with another defense mechanism, and so he descends to level number 4. Sone et hachachamim, despising the stages. Mr. SQJ scrutinizes the rabbi and thinks to himself, it's not the chas v'shalom what the rabbi is going to say. It bothers me. It sounds as if I don't want to learn Torah, but not from his mouth. That rabbi is not a mensch. Why, 20 years ago, he passed my grandmother in the street and did not say good morning. Or he may think that rabbi's in it for the money. Look at the luxury car he drives, so that rabbi is a schlepper. Look at the jalopy he drives. If he can't impugn what the rabbi says, he most certainly can find pretext to impugn the rabbi. From that mouth, I wouldn't listen to the Ten Commandments or even the Gettysburg Address. Now, Mr. SQJ can tune out the rabbi's exhortation without any pangs of conscience. However, 35, last page, there are more sincere individuals in the congregation who are not averse to spiritual growth, and they accept the rabbi's exhortation. One of them approaches Mr. SQJ after shul. The rabbi's right, he says. We are people who believe in the Torah and are Shabbos observant. Yet there are basic laws we don't know, like Borer. And the rabbi's offered to give a class. Let's go join him. Do you want to join us too? Oh no, thinks Mr. SQJ subconsciously, just what he needs to make me feel uncomfortable with my stagnation. So he responds with defense mechanism number 5. Level 5 is Monea Acheri Milaasos, preventing others from observing. We're in the middle of 35. He says to his neighbor, so you want to be more frum, huh? You want to upgrade your Shabbos observance to learn more about Bora? Let me warn you, you're taking a very dangerous step. Bora is just the beginning. You start with Bora, then it snowballs with more and more chumros till you'll be full-fledged fanatics. I give you 2 weeks until you're taking a shower with a black hat on. Another few weeks and your wives will be wearing their tichels down past their noses, which itself presents a danger of suffocation. The subconscious desire to dissuade those who want to do what you don't want to do is level number 5. This may discourage some individuals, 36, but others are not impressed with Mr. SQJ's argument, and they persist. Join us for the shir. Be honest with yourself. Upgrade your Shabbos observance. To this, Mr. SQJ now descends to level number 6, denying the mitzvos. Although this sounds extreme, if we can describe this way. The asterisk 34. Do you think that if Bora were halacha, I wouldn't be the first to join the shir and observe it properly, says Mr. SQJ to his persistent friend? Bora is merely a chumrah, stringency, or it's just one opinion. I don't know who the other opinion is, but there's always another opinion, and I'm for him. Or, Bora is a minhag, a custom, and that minhag is not my family minhag. Thus, the halacha is reduced to an opinion, a chumrah, or a minhag. This is denial of the mitzvah. Finally, when the persistent neighbor brings a shulchan aruch, kafachai, mishnebura, revider in English, and demonstrates beyond a doubt that Bora is a universally Torah halacha, not a chumra minhag or an isolated opinion, Mr. SQJ is forced to descend to level number 7, Kofir Be'ikar, denying the main principle, God. As his final defense mechanism, Mr. SQJ responds, okay, Bora is halacha, but I can't do everything. There's a limit to how much I can let halacha interfere and complicate my life. Thus, 37, the mitzvah is not the main concern, the ikar of his life, but rather a mere detail in life. Consequently, the commander of the mitzvah is not the main ikkar in his life, but merely one he, quote-unquote, permits to interfere with his life. This is kofar b'ikkar, denying God being the ikkar, the main focus in one's life. The complete picture that Rashi paints for us is so true to life that we must all feel both shock and inspiration when confronted with these holy words. One can be a fine Torah observant Jew who's growing in Torah knowledge and observance 99% of the time. But in that 1% that he resists growth and prefers to stagnate, he'll be on one of those seven levels on the descending escalator on the way down to the basement of Kofar B'Ikkar. And it can be in so many areas. Shabbos, Kashrus, Tznius, Mitos, business ethics. For each and every one of us, we know where we stand in regard to that Mr. SQJ or Miss SQJ statement. Rabbi Leff brings here a fellow who's learning in Or Sameach who met the Ger Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael, and he introduces himself as learning in Or Sameach, but he immediately says, but I'm not a Baal Tshuva. The Ger Rebbe responds, why not? We all have to be Baal Tshuva. We all have to be people who are growing and becoming better and better. And this, my friends, is what the Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Rav Pinkus, quotes in Source 40, where he says, "Hadiska va'ikar b'shimush refuah satorah la'tachluei ha'yetzer." You want to know the secret, one of the secrets of beating the Yetzirah, who lilmot, it's be able to learn the item, the oz ve'iun amo ketev dinei ha'veiro natzma, to learn the laws of the Aveira. Kenenu haraod harbeim Aveira shardam nimnam hem beteva, v'lo yavor lehem. Ach gam be'eda shir yachlitzenu l'zei zedovar. There are some Aveiros are chamuros me'ela, and a person himself is going to go over them and knock out. Like he says, the person will automatically wash their hands before they eat bread, because that's something they grew up with. But Hilchos Lashon Hara, Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Kashrus, Hilchos Brachos, a person may not be as careful. And there is absolutely no excuse in our day and age when there is a proliferation of Torah and Halacha literature written in many languages. What is to stop us, as we spoke about in the last year of Bahar, of having a chavrusa on Shabbos, chavrusa during the week, and being able to learn? I just had a woman who came to me on Thursday for an hour. She was wanting to work on different aspects of Avodas Hashem. So one of the areas she was struggling was with tefillah. So I said to her, take a chavrusa and learn Be'er tefillah, and I recommended certain tzvarim. So she looked at me, she says, who's going to want to learn Hilchos tefillah? I said, you have a baby at home, can I know, she has a very large family. Find someone else who has a baby a similar age, and you have a play group together, but instead of having a coffee clutch, learn. She says, no one's going to want to learn, that's like a crazy idea. I said, you'll be surprised. Go and suggest it to a friend. That was Thursday. Last night she calls up. She says, I can't find the sefer you recommended. Can I borrow yours? I have a chavrusa Sunday morning, a la boker, first thing in the morning. I wasn't surprised. Some people are reticent to make that phone call. But when someone calls them up and says, do you want to learn together? The response is absolutely. Thank you for calling. Thank you for taking that first step. Because we all have a desire to move upward. But some of us are a little bit afraid. Some of us have a guilty conscience. Some of us just don't even know where to begin. This is our responsibility if we really want to be people who are meilim b'Torah. If Torah is the entirety of our lives, are we ready to embrace it totally? Which means that our entire focus is about the learning and living of Torah. And when our children come home from yeshiva, or from Beis Yaakov, or from whatever school they may be in, and they say to us, our Mora, our Rebbe taught us A, B, and C, what's our reaction? Wow, that's unbelievable. I never knew that. I've been doing things so much differently. I'd like to see it inside. I'd like to ask our Rav, is this really a minhag? Is it a chumra? Is it a halacha? I want to understand it because I want to see what the correct thing is. Or is our response one of those seven levels of Mr. SKJ, QJ? That's not us. That's a chumra. What is your rabbi teaching you? Filling your head with nonsense. How we respond. Are we growth-oriented or not? My friends, my bracha to all of us is that we should be Zocha, that Torah came Chayenu v'Archimenu, as we're moving ourselves upward on this path of the white fire and the black fire to Mamon Har Sinai, as we get closer and closer, that we should not be people who stagnate in our Judaism, that our entire lives should be filled with Torah, with chesed, with mitzvot, with the passion. This is what we talk about. This is what we get excited about. These are our butterfly wings that allow us to move and allow us to express our beauty. And that in that schus of wanting to grow and wanting to learn and wanting to be better, that we should be benched with all the brachos that are found in Parshat Bechukosai.